grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for this day is Genesis chapter 9. Here again the portion that reads, I establish my covenant with you, and never again shall all flesh be cut off from the waters or cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. You may be seated. I told you once, and I'm not going to tell you again. You understand? You probably have heard those words many times or repeated them yourself. But these words are not a promise of hope. They are a threat of silence. But to a person who has been shaking after a life-changing event or near-death experience, threats do not do any good. They simply drive the person further into despair. And so it is with the threats of the law upon those who are already crushed. Law and gospel. There must be a proper distinction between the law and the gospel. There also must be the proper application of the law and the gospel. Today we hear Noah speaking, or I should say God speaking, after the catastrophic life-altering event to Noah. This is not the first time. This is not the second time. This is the third time that God is repeating himself, not with threats, but comfort and solid hope. This is the characteristic of the gospel. God is gracious. Humanity has a future with God. Repeat the hymn again. To God on high be glory and peace to all the earth. Things were bad, really bad, so bad that the earth needed to be washed clean. And so it was at Noah's time. Things had gotten so bad among humanity that God was done. He was going to destroy every living thing on the earth. Well, almost. Except those who were raised on the ark. 8 people in all, 7 of every clean animal, and 2 of all the rest. Samples to start all over again. At the risk of bringing up memories of the past year, the flood was greater than a global pandemic. The flood affected every human being, and it also affected Noah and his family, those who survived. But now things had settled down. The water had dried up, the earth was turning green again, and once again the land was inhabitable. Yet nerves are frayed. If you just read through the account, you find how Noah goes ahead and removes the covering. And then he sends out a raven. And then he sends out a dove, all in hopes to see where things are at. Wondering, contemplating, could it happen again? Look to the rainbow. The great threat is removed. We have gone through this past year was deadly for some, but not for most. What a contrast from the 1918 epidemic, the Black Plague, compared to the flood that Noah and his family had to go through. For the dead have no concern of what will to come. The concern is for the living. And as you know, humanity, again, is far from moral purity. Some warn. Many wonder. Could it? Will it happen again? Those thoughts pervade much of people's lives, especially of those who are in remission. They live day to day with the threat of cancer returning. Could it? Will it return again? How, then, will the Lord God cleanse his people once again, so that he will have for himself a holy people? The Lord has always had to work with a remnant. He did at the time of Noah. He did with Abraham and his descendants. He did with David and his line. narrowing in on the one promised to David, to Abraham, and all the way back to Adam. This time, God would not separate himself from humanity, but his creative word would join with humanity and the one person, Jesus Christ. And the word became flesh and went to the cross for us. Here, the creator and creature experienced the judgment of God against all that is wrong with humanity. God the Father wipes out his Son as the one who carries not his own sin, but the sin of the whole world. In the past, the present, and the future. However, God the Father accepted his sacrifice. Just as the ark was raised to safety, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. New life and a bodily resurrection. Look to the cross. There, the great threat is removed. To God on high be glory and peace to all the earth. Peace on earth. That's what we want, isn't it? Peace in our lives. That's what we want to look forward to. We know and are assured that the earth will no longer be wiped clean by a flood, destroying all humanity. God was gracious and is gracious. God has delayed his final judgment, waiting for others to come to him. And since we know that the earth will be destroyed by fire, what kind of people ought we to be? Holy and blameless. Not by ourselves, as the scripture declares, for we carry in our mortal bodies the corruption that Adam brought in to the world. We are holy and blameless because of the blood of Jesus, living by the Spirit, not by our own efforts, but by the very Word of God. That's what our baptisms signify. There at the baptismal font, we were washed with the death-destroying flood and given the life-giving water. Not because of the water, but because of the word connected with the water. In baptism, we are assured once again the great threat has been removed. And God does not want us to forget our baptism. He not only wants us to remember our baptism, but he wants us to live our baptism every day. That's what such baptizing with water indicates. It indicates that the old Adam in us should be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new person daily emerge to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Therefore, we confess our sins and receive absolution, that is the forgiveness, over and over again, because we dare not forget. We are redeemed and stand in the grace of God, the assurance of the great threat removed. But for most of us, our baptisms were so long ago, and sometimes those words of absolution we just hear over and over again, and they don't have the same impact. But in Holy Communion, God does the Jesus thing again. The Word joined with the created. He joins his Word to bread and wine, and here the very body and blood of Jesus is given in with and under the bread and the wine for the forgiveness of sins. In baptism, we receive the forgiveness of sins. In confession and absolution, we receive the forgiveness of sins. God does not want us to forget. In Jesus, and only by grace, do we stand before him in his presence as his holy people. Why? Because God does not forget his covenant. As the rainbow after a rain stretches across the sky, reminding humanity that the Lord is gracious, he will not cleanse the earth with a flood, so the wounds in the hands of Jesus are present before the Father, reminding that our sin is forgiven. In Jesus, the great threat has been removed. The world without Jesus has no hope except death. No matter how pleasant they may make our lives and even our death. The world says when life is too painful, you don't have to endure, you can end it peacefully. When a conceived child gets in the way of your plans, you don't have to toil or struggle to raise it or go through the separation pain caused by an adoption. You can dispose of the little fetal flesh. When another race or people you don't like, just get rid of them. You see, the world's answer without Jesus is nothing but death. They don't really realize the eternal death. But in Jesus, even though we die being faithful, we live. The great threat has been removed. To God on high be glory and peace to all the earth. God had told Noah in Genesis chapter 6. God had told Noah in Genesis chapter 8. God now again tells Noah in Genesis chapter 9 as he joins his word with the created. He has made the sign, the rainbow. He does the sign and remembers the sign. And so God today again speaks his word of promise. He gives us the death-destroying, life-giving sign of baptism, and then he gives us the very crucified body and blood of Christ. It is a holy communion, the assurance of the great threat removed. And we stand now before God, communing as his holy people with the holy God. To God on high be glory and peace to all the earth. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.